Hey, everybody, welcome to a brand new MMA Roasted podcast. Me, Adam Hunter, I'm here with my man, CB Gold.
I'm back, people. Hide your fighters.
Hide your fighters. He will stalk them. As well as my man, Andrew Montanez, the Squid. We are here at Pluto TV. I want to thank our sponsor, Speedweed. Listen, people, when you find yourself in need, trust in speedweed.com for overnight delivery to over 1,088 cities across California. Find everything you need with one quick stop. Flowers, edibles, concentrate, topicals, vapes, and more. Sign up and use the code ROASTED for $10 off orders over $100 at speedweed.com. I'm telling you, I heard that the CBD, they have mints now. You can have like CBD mints, which is pretty damn awesome. It's got, you know, all kinds. They got a great marijuana, but also great CBD stuff, which helps me. I just started doing Krav Maga, and I love it. But my body's sore, and that CBD oil works. Also, Blue Apron, the number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. And their mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. And they achieve this by supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the highest standards for ingredients, and building a community of home chefs. Blue Apron has established itself partnerships with over 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranches across the U.S., and as a result, their seafood is sourced sustainably under standards developed in partnership with the Monterey Bay Aquarium Seafood Watch. Cooking together builds strong family bonds. I know me and my wife cook. Do you and your girl cook?
I don't know how to cook.
Awesome, CB. Well, check it out. Blue Apron is so easy to cook. You order it, and even a guy like you who's got some issues will be able to cook some great food. So check it out. It's affordable. They got variety, flexible, easy, and guaranteed. Check out this week's menu and get your first three meals free with free shipping at blueapron.com/MMA roast. You'll love how good it feels, how good it tastes. Build to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. Don't wait. Blue Apron, a better way to cook. So, everything's good. Happy Thanksgiving. Hope you guys had a great Thanksgiving. I went home. I didn't go home. I went to Breeze in Fresno, which was fun. And we brought the dog. We're like, this is going to be a great Thanksgiving. You know, she has a little dog. And my dog actually, her dog likes sniffing my dog's butt and falling around. My dog is just kind of like, whatever, you know, typical crazy Northern Cal chick. But my dog was sleeping with us. And then in the morning, I wake up, and there's poop all over the floor, all over to my right. And we're, like, in her mom's house, in her grandparents' house, on the bed. And then now it's like an island surrounded by poop. And I'm like, great. This is exactly what I want to do on Thanksgiving morning. So then I had to clean it up. We go outside. He poops more and more and more. But this time he's shaking. He's kind of really slow, lethargic. He's you know, doing the hyperventilating. And then he pooped blood. And that's where, like, okay, we have to go to the emergency room. Take him. This is our Thanksgiving in the Fresno Animal ER. Turns out, after $750 worth of stuff, he has stress.
Stress.
Yeah, and now I have stress too.
I was gonna say.
Yeah, $750 later. That stress. And not only that, so he gets, you know, his ass fingered, you know, with the doctor, which, you know, is not the way you want to spend Thanksgiving. I mean, maybe you or Greg Wilson or other people, but not me. But the dog. So then afterwards, he runs out, and I'm wearing a white T-shirt, and he jumps on my shirt, and he's like, "Oh, daddy!" And I look down, this shit all over my shirt. So my jeans. I had to go home and change. So that was my Thanksgiving. But hey, look, my dog's okay. Could have been a lot worse.
That's all that matters. That,
you know, whatever, right? So that was that. Then I went home. I had a show Friday night at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood, which was awesome.
I heard you killed it, man.
I had a great set, and it was I saw what's the name came to the show. Heather Jo Clark came with David Mitchell. I don't know if they're an item or what, but
David Mitchell.
Yes. So together they came to the show, and I was hosting, and I don't mind hosting. There's an art in hosting. A lot of people don't like hosting. I like it because you know you do 15 minutes up front or 20 minutes up front, then you bring everybody up. But my job is, if somebody bombs hard, to bring the crowd up instantly. Also, if somebody kills too hard, let's say just crowd work, I got to get the crowd back into joke mode. Or if someone's too dirty, I have to go clean it up and be funny. My job is to set up the every comic well. And so that was cool. And then Friday night, I came back and watched the fights. Started at 12:30, which I got to give you guys in England credit. All you guys are like, welcome to my world, blah, blah, blah. I don't know how you guys do it, because the thing started at 12:30 at night, didn't get over till 7 in the morning.
I stayed awake the whole time.
Really?
I watched the entire thing. Yeah, I went to bed right after Bisping got KO'd.
Oh, I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't get me wrong. It's like, to me, it's like getting a hand job. Like not my first choice, but I'll take it. I've never turned down a hand job. So, obviously, there are hand jobs that are better than others, you know, more spit and lube. But at the same time, it was 12:30 at night. It was just, so I did watch the first half. I woke up, but then I couldn't get on Twitter, Instagram. I mean, even my Waze tells me who's fucking won at this point. Like, it's like, make a right, just like the make a left, just like the left of Gustelum knocked out. I'm like, really, fucking Waze? There's nothing I can do to escape hearing the results, which sucks. Like, I've had friends that I've not talked to for weeks because they're like, yo, did you see? Even my little brother is like, oh man, that fight was crazy. I go, la, 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 la. I go, do not tell me what happened. And then I can kind of figure out what happened by his, even him saying that fight was crazy.
His reaction.
I can think of, oh, who was a knockout artist? Who probably won? You know, like, for the, so that was that. We're going to get into all that. But first, I'm going to get into like my week. Then Saturday, I had a show. At this, I didn't know. My friends, like, I don't read the descriptions of the shows when I just say yes to them. So I drove out to Pomona thinking I was just doing a regular show or a Christmas party. It's a Narcotics Anonymous convention, right? And I have t-shirts to sell that say, don't smoke pot and drive, it will ruin your high. So I'm like, not those shirts that you want to sell at an NA convention. But they were super nice. It was all Latinos, mostly Latinos. They're always like, it was funny because the same couple that was there Friday night, there was a black couple there Friday night at the Laugh Factory. And I like made fun of them. And then an hour in Pomona, they were at that convention. I was like, and I made fun of them again, this time in like a longer set. So that was cool.
So you got new stalkers now.
I got new stalkers. And then after that, I went to Saturday night after the convention, I went home. Sunday night, I did a show at the, there's this like kind of elite place they have. It's called it's the Soho House. You have to be a member. So now they do comedy there. And it's all these like entertainment people, all these chicks, super hot chicks. And the comic before me goes up there and he's working out a bit about sexual harassment. He's like, ladies, you know, I think this is kind of your fault too. Don't be wearing these little dresses and then getting mad. So then they all hated him. Like, I had to dig myself out of that hole. But it was
too soon.
Yeah, it was too soon.
Very much too soon.
It was funny though. I was just like, you got to be kidding me. And but then wrestling. So I started coaching wrestling. Yesterday was our first. So it's pretty funny. So the first, you know, a lot of kids, they, I always keep the door open in the wrestling room, so kids walk by and be like, oh, what's going on? Maybe they'll join the team. That's happened over the years. So this kid,
you're the new Chris Weidman.
So this kid comes in, right? Yeah, you're the next Chris, right? This kid comes in and he's like, hey, I'm like, hey, you want to join the team? He's like, I don't know. Do you guys teach the RKO? I was like, no.
Send him to my house.
I'm like, that's not.
That's perfect. That's exactly what I wanted to hear.
What is the RKO?
Stone Cold Stunner.
What is the RKO?
The RKO is, it's basically a cutter. It's Randy Orton's finisher. When he grabs you by the back of your neck, face first, and slams you into the canvas.
Yeah.
Kind of like a stunner, yeah.
Similar. Yeah, or if you've seen like the videos of the GIFs, RKO out of nowhere. Mm. Yeah, it's pretty funny.
So the kid wanted to know if I was teaching that in the wrestling class. I'm like, no, it's not that kind of wrestling. He looked very disappointed.
There's a similar move you can do as like a reversal, I find, but yeah. He's got to tell him yes.
So then,
my favorite of it was watching your videos from coaching this week and seeing you trying to teach one move, and one kid's on the like the monkey bars just like spinning around.
Oh, yeah. Other kids are dancing in the background. Like, it's so ridiculous.
There's only one kid paying attention, and he's doing the movements while he's not even partnered up.
Yeah, meanwhile, so yesterday, right? So we start practice. Team's looking good. Got a bunch of new kids. And the athletic director's like, hey, this kid wants to join the team. And he's from Russia. And the kid's like right from Russia. Like, I was like,
perfect.
I was like, how much do you weigh? He's like 60 kilograms. I'm like, perfect, right? Like, he doesn't even say pounds. And the athletic
do you
director.
Know how much 60 kilograms is?
I have no idea.
Okay. So, yeah.
Me neither. 130 or something?
130,
like that?
Yeah. The athletic director says to me, he says, his father was a Russian national champion and his grandfather was a Russian national champion. And the kid doesn't look like, I mean, you wouldn't be like, oh, that kid's going to be a good wrestler, right? So, but he's a, you know, he's a seventh grader. So I throw
is
him
his name Khabib.
I threw him in there. He was murdering my team. Like, I'm like, yes, thank you, Russian gods, for sending this kid over. But it's a different kind of wrestling. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. It's a lot slower, but it's like when he grabs your leg, it, you know, he's not letting go of that leg. He has
my wrestling coach in college, his name was Vugar Rujov. He was like a Russian national champ. He had two kids that were like the most innocent looking kids. They went on to be three times state champs in New York, I think.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting coaching this kid, because I don't want to screw up what he's already doing, because he's doing stuff already well. It's just not necessarily how I teach it. Even his single, like I always teach head on the inside single when you finish. His head's on the outside when he finishes. But he was super nice, super great. I'm like, you got it. So I asked the athletic director, I'm like, where did you find this kid? He goes, there was a bully in class that was like picking on him. And then he's like, hey, I don't speak English. I don't. And the guy kept making fun of him. And the kid took a swing at him. And he ducked, hit him with a double leg, and just started ground and pounding that kid. And he's like, you're on the wrestling team. <I'm> like,
you should do the Alistair Overeem approach then. Have him bring in his own coaches, work on the side. And then when it comes time for the tournament. Speaking of which, is that judo chick still part of the other school?
No.
Damn it.
Yeah, no, thank God she's in high school. But this kid's our secret weapon. I love this kid, so I'm super happy about that. And then last night I had a show, and it was like literally two bigger black women in the crowd. That was like the crowd. But they were laughing at everything. One had green hair, and they were like, I'm like, have you ever dated a white guy? They're like, nah, man. They're like, white guys don't like girls like me. I'm thick. And I was like, no, that's okay. She's like, no, I'm big. I'm like, well, that's normally bigger girls have tighter vaginas, right? And then she's like, that's true. It was like, it was the funniest thing. And then I asked them if they're on Tinder. Like, no, we're on Soul Swipe. Have you heard of this?
No.
It's like Tinder for black people. It's called Soul Swipe.
So Black People Meet now has an app?
Yeah, it's called, and Soul, but I'm like, they said anyone with soul could be on it. You don't have to be black to be on it. But so I was like, when you swipe right, it goes, oh, hell no. And like left, like, I, you good? That's my baby dad, whatever it is. So anyway, so that was funny. And yes, that was it. Tomorrow I'm going to see Guns N' Roses.
Nice.
The second time. I'm super excited about that. I saw them when it was just Axl on the new band, and they were so good that me and my ex-girlfriend broke up before the concert and got back together by the end of the concert. That's how good Guns N' Roses. I mean, at that point, we were breaking up every other day. But it was hard because, like, we were living together. I don't know if you ever lived with someone, but breaking up with someone when you live with is a fucking process.
I'm aware.
You can't just get them out of there. And she would do things like, I'd be like, all right, it's not working, so you have to leave tomorrow. You're out, you know? And then she'd be like, okay. And then I'd come home in the morning, and they'd be like, from work or whatever, and there'd be lasagna. And then she'd be like, listen, before I leave, can I just give you a blowjob? And I'm like, all right. And then like halfway through, I'm like, you can stay. But after the ninth time of this happening, I was like, fuck it.
I'm going to come and you can go.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but we used to get in the worst fights. One time, because she would drink, and like we would break up when she was drunk, and then in the morning I wouldn't even know if she remembered it. So I'd have to break up with her again when she was sober. I remember one time we were in Canada, and I was like, "You're not drinking, right?" No. And then the waitstaff gets her drunk while I'm on stage. So then I get off, and she's like, "I can't believe you said you were single." I'm like, "It was in my act or whatever it was." And then we go back to the comedy condo, and she's like, "I'm walking home." I'm like, "Leave, go. We're in Canada." Right?
How far is home?
So she leaves, right? I'm just like, "You gotta be kidding me." 10 minutes later, I get a knock on the door. You were gonna let me freeze. I'm like, it was just constant shit. We were on a cruise ship. She got banned from drinking on the cruise ship. You know how fucking fucked up you have to be to get banned from?
Yes.
And you're dating the guy who works on the cruise ship. Like, that he tried to use her card. It was an X. It was like an X on her card. And then she's like, I'm leaving the island. I'm like, I'm going to helicopter off. I'm like, go ahead. Like,
if you can find a helipad, we'll handle this.
So anyway, I'm in a much better relationship. And I started taking Krav Maga, which I like.
You're really embracing your Judaism.
What happened was I went to that Scott Baio thing. It was like, they were auctioning off like 6 months of Krav Maga for like $200. So I was like, I'll take it, you know? Well, actually, my wife got it for me. And I like it. It is a little funny. Like they were teaching this one thing where if a guy attacks you with a knife, and they give you like a plastic knife, and they go, you know, what to do, and you're supposed to kind of raise your right arm and then hit the guy in his right here in his wrist and make him drop it. And which all sounds good and well, but they were like, well, make sure, you know, if they just want your wallet, just give them your wallet. But, you know, if they're attacking your family and your friend, you know, they're kind of, because now
everyone. Why are there conditions to this martial art?
Yeah, and now I'm like waiting for someone to fucking get attacked with like a knife. I'm prepared. Or they teach you how to fight if you're in Starbucks. So like you're online and a guy comes to the side of you, like what to do. And like a lot of this stuff does, I mean, a lot of just punching combos and stuff that you could use for MMA, obviously, and like back fists and back elbows and cool stuff. But I'm like,
a class to prepare for Black Friday.
But I've never, the thing is, I've never been in Starbucks and had anyone ever try to attack me. You know,
just elevators.
Yeah, just elevators, right? Which, right. So that was cool, and I like it though. I like it. And then what else could we talk about? What's going on with you? What's going on with you, CB?
Just been busy with the shop. Things are going really, really well. we had a third prospective artist, and then he was super weird, and he was doing a lot of meth and stuff, so we really didn't want him around. But Alan Joe Bond's wife came in last week to get tattooed. That was pretty awesome.
Nice.
And I've just been traveling, spent Thanksgiving up in Mammoth with the family, but it was supposed to be winter, and it's like 60 degrees during the day. There's no snow, and I'm just, I don't know. It was really weird. But no, things are good, and I don't know if we've spoke about it, but I attribute this to you. I read on Eater LA that the number one dive bar in LA is the Dime.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
And I think that is all contributory to Mr. Adam Hunter bringing in the best comedy and the best comedians.
I'm sure it helps, but that's awesome. Dime every Monday and Tuesday. So let's talk about, there's a rumor that Conor McGregor, your hero, got into a bar fight in Ireland.
Was it with Mark Goddard?
And I guess he knocked out a guy his age and then knocked out a parent. And the parent was supposedly this like mob boss in Ireland and some kind of, I don't know what to believe. It sounds like a Guy Ritchie film, okay? But the thing is, I do know that McGregor is wasting his potential right now. The guy is in his prime. Do not fight Oscar De La Hoya, okay? Manny Pacquiao called him out over Thanksgiving. You're not going to beat Pacquiao. I think he might beat De La Hoya.
I was going to say, he could beat De La Hoya.
Maybe.
You don't think he'll beat Pacquiao?
He's not going to beat Manny. No, come on. We've seen Pacquiao spar. I mean, even
he's
the worst.
He's older.
So what? He's older.
And he doesn't have a great chin.
He's going to beat Conor McGregor. And the top 30 boxers in the world at that weight class will beat Conor McGregor. Okay? And Andre Berto will beat McGregor in a boxing match.
That would be a good fight.
But
let's just get the Malignaggi fight.
Malignaggi will beat him in a boxing match.
No, he won't.
Yes, he will. In a boxing match. A full camp Malignaggi will beat him. However, in an MMA fight, that's what we care about. There's Tony Ferguson. There's Khabib. There's other guys in that. You're the champ at 45.
A full camp Malignaggi does not beat Conor McGregor.
Yes, he does.
I don't think so.
Come on.
Did you see Malignaggi's last fights when he was ending his career?
He was fighting Errol Spence and Sean Porter.
Two other guys
that would fucking annihilate Conor McGregor.
I think he's undersized against Conor.
I don't know. Who knows? But the point is, I don't want to see it. I don't want to find out. I don't care. And McGregor, what are you doing? You're jumping into the Bellator cage. You're slapping refs. You're getting into bar fights. You're going to end up in jail. You don't think that some cop wouldn't want to.
Or worse, if he really is mafia.
Don't think somebody wouldn't want to make a name for himself by putting you behind bars. That would 100% happen. And don't be like, I don't want to see John Jones and McGregor ineligible to fight. Because those are the two of the three best fighters in the UFC right now, if not the two best fighters in the UFC.
It was number three.
Demetrius Johnson, DJ. And then maybe those three. Anyway, what else happened over the weekend? Ben Askren, supposedly retired, and then called out GSP.
Yeah, but I'm retired except for one possibility.
Ben Askren's another guy who we will never know how good he could have been. I think people underestimate Ben Askren. It's not just his wrestling, his brain power. He is such a smart fighter. And that's the thing about wrestling Askren. He will find a way to win, usually. He's that guy. That's what Tyron Woodley said. You could never bet against Askren. I think Askren, GSP, I would pick Askren. I think that maybe on paper, obviously, you got to give the striking advantage to GSP, even the grappling advantage, although Askren, I think, is a black belt or brown belt at this point. Wrestling, 100%, you have to give it to Askren, although it's close. In MMA wrestling, GSP has the best double. It's a thing of beauty. But Askren does not get tired. In a five-round fight, I would say Askren, I think, beats GSP. I know
and
people
do
are going
to fight at 185. If it were to happen, since they've both moved up now.
Right. Who do you think wins that fight?
Askren and GSP?
Yeah.
I got GSP on that one.
Most people would pick GSP, and I understand
I think,
why.
I think Askren has a great chance, though. I don't think it's no easy fight.
You're also a guy who's taken virtually no damage in his career, except he got dropped by Jay Haran, and then that one fight he went up against that guy who was completely juiced out of his mind.
Yeah.
That one fight, you know what I'm talking about, over out there.
Oh, the guy fighting in ONE FC?
Yeah, the guy, he ended up like...
Is that the one that ended in like a no contest or whatever?
It was like an eye poked and then Askren got a takedown. It was like something weird happened. But anyway, Ben Askren, you got to give him credit though. He did it his way. The purists will say he never fought the best and they're right. But look, me personally, if I can work a comedy club, okay, let's say the Laugh Factory is the best club or the Comedy Store or you know whatever, and they're giving me $20, right? And I go to Uncle, you know, Clyde's Chuckle Hut down the corner, and they're giving me $1 million. I'm going to take the $1 million. Yeah. And that's what Askren did. They were giving him $100,000 to start off with at ONE FC. Dana White and them were not doing that.
Did you see the car he got, by the way?
They probably would have given him 30 and 30 to start, or 40 and 40.
Did he actually get that car, or was that just...
I don't know.
I don't think he got the car.
Oh, I thought it was a gift.
It seemed like a gift, like, the day after and stuff. It was a white Lamborghini, right?
It was orange.
Yeah. It wasn't the car. But I got to give Askren credit, and, you know, I don't think he's going to retire. I think he'll be back. I know that the Ultimate Fighter this year now is looking for undefeated fighters, which doesn't make any sense, because it just said open call for undefeated fighters. So what, everyone's going to be at different weight classes?
It's either they're going to do the auditions and the tryouts. It'll be 145, 55, and 70s. And then once they figure out who they want for the cast and the majority of the people that could make a show, they're going to go ahead and pick, I guess, either one or two. But you have to be between, I think, 21 and 35, and you have to be at least 3-0. You can't walk in at like 1-0, like Corey Hill did, where he didn't have any fights, and then he lied about them. And so it's weird. I mean, it's going to be a lot of egos in the house, and then when a guy loses, even though it's an exhibition on the show, it's going to turn into a war. I think it'll be entertaining, but I think they're stretching with this.
I don't know. I'll tell you, I caught up with the 125 girls, and I loved it.
I think it's a great season.
It's a great season. I hope Roxanne Modafferi wins the whole thing. I like Roxy. She's super cool. And you got to give a girl... There's the comeback of the decade. I mean, this girl lost 6 fights in a row, and she was getting fucking smacked around. In fact, that one fight with Raquel Pennington, you almost felt like, Roxy, it's time to hang it up. Throw in the towel. It's been a good career. The sport has evolved around you. Now she goes to John Wood. She goes to Syndicate, and it's a whole different fighter. And for her to be the number one seed and to stop 3 people in a row or 2 people in a row, good for you. I am feeling it. I'm totally feeling it. I like Roxy. I like the whole – look, I happen to know Lauren Murphy, and she's a super cool, sweet, fun girl. I just think that loss really fucked her up. Because if you look at how she was acting before and after, and her and Eddie Alvarez, which I would think would get along well because they're both kind of nice, cool people who've come from a really rough past, and they're both doing, you know, kind of, but it happens. And I like the season. I think Lauren was wrong in that last episode, if you saw it, of her going to the sauna and using the bike while the other girl was trying to cut weight. That was wrong. Get off the bike.
Do you also I think he's been a little tough, but do you think Eddie is a little bit tough on some of his fighters during the season? And I like Eddie.
I just think Eddie is just a Philly guy, and he's just an Italian, tough-nosed Philly guy. And when you're dealing with, you know, 25 girls in a house and egos and, you know, former champs and new champs, it's hard. It's got to be tough. I don't think Eddie's used to coaching girls and coaching as many girls. And, you know, I don't think he's even a coach. He's sort of a guy who's been coached. But I do think he was rough on her that one time when he was like, but then she was sort of, I didn't like the fact that she stole the bike from that girl. That was kind of wrong. I was surprised that what's her name lost? Barbara Honchak. They were calling her the favorite.
Has she been out, 4 years?
Yeah, I don't get that either. How do you become 40? A champion and then take 3 years off? It almost feels like you do. That's just.
Well, she got, if I remember correctly, she got stripped of her title in Invicta. They were tired of waiting for her. She just didn't want to fight.
I'll tell you who looked hot as shit.
Rachel Ostovich.
Oh, my God. Rachel Ostovich has a body and a half. Smoking hot. Cool. Her dad's a rabbi, so I know she's religious. But she, damn.
She knew what she was doing on the show.
Oh, yeah. But she did. She fought well, though. She was tough. Very tough.
Well, we've seen her fight. She's a tough chick.
She fought better in the show than she has in Invicta.
Yes, definitely.
Let's talk a little bit about the Bisping fight. Everybody now is saying, hey, you know, Bisping never should have to fight. Look, hindsight's 20/20. And Bisping has had the most fights in the history of the UFC, along, I think, with GSP. You got to give him the benefit of the doubt. If he says, I'm ready, I can do it. I think that Kelvin Gastelum I thought was a safe enough opponent for him to go into a short notice fight. Obviously, I was wrong, and most people were wrong. But you look at a Kelvin Gastelum, I'm still not convinced should be at that weight class. At 170, his only losses were to Tyron Woodley, where he was in the hospital 12 hours before, which was a very contested loss, and Neil Magny, which he was destroying Neil Magny those last two rounds. So he's really undefeated at 170. At 85, I think when he gets to the Robert Whittakers, the Chris Weidman, the Yoel Romeros, the Luke Rockhold, those guys are just too big. Does he have a puncher's chance? Obviously. He got hits like a fuck. I mean, he knocked down Chris Weidman, almost stopped him, knocked out Bisping. Now, that all being said, this last fight for Bisping, they have to give him, I think, Rashad Evans would be a good fight.
Did you hear the fight of their campaigning?
Vitor Belfort would be good. Who are they campaigning for?
Masvidal wants it. Because of the altercation in New York.
Yeah, that's
Masvidal
and
Bisping.
That's a good fight.
He's not going to get knocked out. At least he may lose a decision. But
if you lose, though, you lose to technically a 155-er and you're in a 185-er.
Yeah, that's a pretty big fall from
grace.
He's
a 70-pounder, though.
Yeah.
He always struggled to make 55.
But he wants it in London, and that's what makes me nervous, because every time he's in England and it goes to decision, Bisping gets the nod. But I'd like to see him go out with a victory, even though I wasn't sad watching him get knocked out by Kelvin.
That was brutal. That was brutal. I like Bisping a lot. I've gotten to know him over the years, and that was rough. And I'm happy for Kelvin. Take nothing from Kelvin. I just think also, though, this kind of sets Kelvin up for him to now all of a sudden be in the top title contention talk for a guy who I do not think, I mean, you looked at him, he looked like he was ordering pizza on the way to the cage. When you looked at him versus Bisping, you're like, Bisping's going to win this. If you just looked at them, you're like, this guy's a foot taller, better shape, more muscular. Kelvin looks like he can easily make 170. And Dolce said he can make 55. He just likes to eat. But eventually, that's going to catch up to you.
A happy fighter is a good thing, you know.
A happy fighter? A happy fighter is a guy with the hand raise. I mean, Chris Weidman versus him look like a good big guy versus a good small guy. We're forgetting that because of how good Gastelum looked last week. But
he looked good against Chris until
he landed one punch that fight. Come on. It was a good punch. I mean, his arms were shorter. He's 5'3". I love Kelvin. He's a friend of mine.
He's like 5'9"
or 5'10". He's the nicest guy I know. I love him, and I'll watch and I'll support him. I just think for him to be the champion of the world, he has to be at a competitive weight class. And I just think the guys at 85 are just too big.
But didn't he have a tough time making 86? Didn't he need the talent?
Him versus GSP is a good fight. They're about the same size.
Kelvin versus GSP?
Yeah.
That's a good fight.
There's other guys around him that can make it difficult.
Yeah, if we're
going
to have him fight blown up 170-pounders, that's fine. But I think GSP...
But the blown up 170-pounder is the best 185-pounder in the world right now. That's
who's that?
GSP.
He's not the best 185-pounder in the world.
Yes, he is.
No, he has the belt. But is he the best? If he was going to fight Yoel Romero, Luke Rockhold, or Whittaker, who'd be the favorite?
I think he's the favorite over Whittaker. I think he's the favorite over Rockhold. I think Romero's the favorite over GSP.
I don't know.
If Bobby Knuckles connects, GSP.
I like GSP, but there's a reason we have weight classes. But I get it. He's an anomaly. But I don't think Gastelum's GSP. I don't think his GSP looked ripped at 85. Yeah. Gastelum did not.
No, he
did not even look. He looked like
he looked.
Yeah, he looked like your friend, my brother's friends from Long Island.
How do you think Anderson would have done with Kelvin? Because that was the original fight.
I think he's shot too. I think when you get busted for steroids twice in a row, you're shot as a fight. You're shot mentally. And I think
Kelvin
would have won that
busted,
fight. I think he would have knocked out.
I think Prime Anderson.
Prime Anderson was
Prime
what,
Anderson's 10 years ago.
Prime Anderson beats a Prime anybody.
Yeah, but we're not talking. If this was the fight last weekend, that it
I
was
think
originally.
Kelvin would have knocked him out too. I think Kelvin Gastelum is just he's great. I just think that like 185 is one of the most loaded weight classes right now.
But it's hard to tell a guy that's is he ranked sixth now or
who,
something?
Kelvin,
yeah. To move down a weight class.
No, but he knows that. After the Weidman fight, I went to his house, okay, which he has like, I loved his house. It was awesome. I went to his house. There was a guy giving a haircut in the kitchen. There was like three guys living upstairs. There was, I don't know, they
was
had
one
like.
One of them Gabe Killian?
It was at the Museum of Ice Cream, actually. It's where he's living. So
nice.
But I said, are you going to make 170? He goes, yeah, that's my weight class. Now, of course, when you knock out the former champion of last month, you're probably thinking differently. But I think deep down he knows. I mean, what the fuck? I just don't think. Who knows? But whatever. Okay, so now, but after that fight, Derek Brunson said Brunson versus Gastelum, book it. That would be a tough fight for Gastelum or Brunson. I mean, Brunson, if Gastelum connects on anybody, he can knock
you
out.
I got Gastelum on that one.
Against
too.
Brunson?
Yeah.
Brunson sometimes fights really stupid.
I was going to say.
But his last couple fights, he's been way smarter.
If he comes out like a fucking, like a train off the tracks like he did last time, just like running in, barreling shots, and he isn't careful, yeah, Brunson could get tagged, but I think that's a great matchup.
And then Weidman tweeted out, he goes, funny, when I finished Kelvin Gastelum, he was a welterweight, but now, like, so...
I saw that.
Yeah, I mean, which, he's right. He's absolutely right. But Chris, you know, is coming off, he was coming off, what, three fights, losses in a row, or two?
Three
in a row. I mean, Chris needs to get... back in that mix. But the problem is these fights are just fucking up the whole division. Because now, I mean, why isn't Rockhold the next fighter? I mean, he lost one fight to Bisping.
Mm-hmm.
He beat Weidman. Why isn't he fighting Romero for the belt? Now, who's going to fight GSP next? Now, are we... It's just this whole
Bobby
thing.
Knuckles. Probably going to wait till Whitaker, I think, I would assume.
Yeah, Bobby Knuckles.
I mean, Chris Wade tweeted out last night. He said, if the Yankees are the mediocre team, but they sell more tickets, put them in the World Series. And that's what the UFC is doing. And I've been saying that for years, and it actually makes a lot of sense. We got to stop doing this shit. I'll tell you who I was super impressed by before we get to our guest, Tatiana Suarez. Zabit Magomedsharipov. This guy is the next big thing. I mean, he's got to change his name to like Zab Mag or something. But this dude, you talk about a complete fighter. He has everything. Fucking Dagestan. I don't know what they're doing. These kids come out of the womb with cauliflower ear and ringworm. I mean, there's something up with the fucking water in Dagestan.
Ivan Drago.
But this dude is a monster. Monster. And, I'm telling you, he's the next big thing. Obviously, I'm on the train. I'm on the hype train. Chase Sherman, you know, Chase Sherman, the problem, look, I've been at Chase Sherman since he was in Titan. I was a fan. We had him on the podcast before that. When he fought Jeremy May, we had him on the podcast. I've been a fan of his since whoever he became a GIF master, or whoever he hired to run his social media, or if it's him, he's brilliant. But he fights in a way where he's either going to get a knockout or get knocked out. And the problem is that he's not good enough right now in his striking to play that game, because he will lose a lot of the times. UFC loves that. UFC goes, hey, put that on TV. People are going to watch that. They're not going to watch the guy we talked about before, that the wrestler we just brought up, the one who's boring, who got shafted before the show started. We're talking about the two brothers.
Oh, the Rushalt brothers.
Yeah, the Rushalt. You know, they're going to put on Chase Sherman over Rushalt any day of the week.
Oh, of course.
But he's got to figure out what he... Because he just... If he wants to be one of the best fighters in the world, which I think he does, he can't just go rock him, sock him every fight. Because that's what he does. And he either wins or he loses. And it's entertaining. But...
Stop doing gifts.
It didn't work out so well.
Yeah, it didn't work out this way. All right, so we're going to talk about the fights coming up, this and that. But right now, we are going to call a girl who's 5-0, two-time bronze medalist in freestyle wrestling. This girl, I had no idea. I watched her fights last night, and I was so impressed. Could we FaceTime her? This girl, Tatiana Suarez, she beat cancer too. She had cancer, and she beat cancer. She beats everybody. She beats cancer. She beats fighters, and she's hot, a pretty girl.
She's local.
Local. I'm a fan. I think she's an underrated star. I think she could be the next champion. I've spent all night last night watching her fights, and I don't think she's lost a round in the UFC except for that Bobby Joe girl who had her in an arm bar.
Amanda Bobby Cooper,
yeah.
Who fights this weekend, I think.
She's fighting Magana.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about that fight. That fight, they're going to have to, like, after the fight, you know, disinfect the whole octagon. And who knows what's going to go on.
No, I got a friend that was training with Tatiana and the Millennia guys for a while, and then he moved away. But he said even before Tough, watch out for this girl. You know, she's a really tough chick, and she has a bright future. They just can't throw her in with the wolves immediately. But
she's getting up there, people.
But she's tough, man. She's tough.
You can follow her at TSP MMA 115. She only has 6,646 followers.
We gotta get
and
that
she
up.
She should get at least a million of this. I mean, I'm telling you, this girl. I'm not kidding. I certain people, I called it. First time I saw Chris Weidman fight. Yeah, that's kind of obvious, but he was fighting the guy who does the Tom Lawler.
Jesse Bongfeld.
I go, this dude's the next big thing.
Cody Garbrandt a long time ago.
And I called Caldwell.
Yes, you did
that
as well.
That was also kind of easy, but still.
Those are easy ones.
Those are easy. Well, those are easy ones, but Suarez has that. She has it. She has everything. I don't think, and she's strong as shit. I'm telling you, I've watched this girl fight.
She's a sweetheart.
People are sleeping on her because she's good.
Probably like to be sleeping on her.
Yeah, you wouldn't last a minute with this chick, dude.
Thirty seconds.
She's got world class hips, and
that's what you want.
Yeah, I know. I'm just saying. All right, so calling you now. And she's not picking up the phone. That's how good she is. Calling you now.
She got that defense.
Come on. Pick up, pick up, pick up.
Pick up.
I was unavailable for FaceTime. We'll call back. But yeah, this girl's the next big thing. I'm telling you, I think that she could beat... I think she's got a good chance against Rose. I think she's a better chance against Rose than Joanna.
I think her and Carla Esparza would be a good fight going forward.
No.
Carla's got
no,
a
no one.
Fight.
Two wrestlers?
That'd be fun.
Carla's
for
fighting
a
Cynthia Calvillo.
Yeah.
So depending on how that
the
goes.
The winner of that fight would be a good fight for Tatiana.
Yeah, so either Carla or Calvillo. But if it's Calvillo, you're going to ruin a prospect by putting her with Tatiana.
Or with Carla.
Carla's not a prospect, though.
Oh, right.
Tatiana
right.
and Calvillo
Carla's
are both
a
prospects.
Former champion of the world.
I know. I like Carla, too. I'm calling her right now. Come on, pick up the phone. Let's go. This girl, though, I don't think she lost a round in the UFC, except for that Bobby Joe Cooper fight. Amanda Bobby Cooper. I like Bobby Joe better, though.
Bobby Joe Cooper.
I saw a thing with Bobby Joe and a sparring session between her and Juliana Pena, and they were going at it. Oh, my God. It was like Fight Club in that gym.
Love it.
Yeah.
Juliana had her baby shower recently.
I know. Thanks for the invite, Juliana.
I was going to ask, like,
no,
what happened to that?
I don't know what happened to that.
Did you see the photos, though? Matt Hughes is looking good. He's looking a little healthier.
How is she looking? Is she pregnant?
Oh, yeah.
Very pregnant?
Oh, yeah.
She's going to be she's going to be a good mom, I think.
If you disobey me, I'll ground
Juliana
and pound
Pena?
The shit of you.
Nice.
All right. So I'm trying to call her now. Come on. Really? All right. This is why you're not... You only have 6,000 followers, Tatiana, because you don't pick up the phone, okay? Because I'm trying to get you more followers.
Trying to get you on MMA Roasted here.
Yeah. Anyway, so, all right.
I was happy with the way Matt Hughes looked, though. He's looking a little healthier. I'm happy to see he's mobile and coherent again.
Good, good. Get him in that Bellator heavyweight tournament.
Did you see Roy McDonald once as an alternate? Are you going to put on 100 pounds?
I think he would do well. Yeah. Call me crazy, but, like, you look at, like...
Him and Roy Nelson...
What?
There's him definitely guys in there that would destroy up. Him. Him against Roy, he wouldn't. He could move well against Roy.
Like, yeah, like I think he could tire out Roy Nelson.
Definitely
it's
tire
like Tom
him out.
Tom versus Jerry.
Stuff.
No, I understand it, but if you look at like okay,
with Fedor or Frank
Sonnen,
Mir.
Right? Let's look at like okay, so if you do the math, MMA math does not work. But you look at like GSP beat Bisping, right? Chael and Bisping were a very close fight. Chael's in the tournament. Rory and GSP fought to a very close fight. So
Rory
you could,
never fought GSP.
Rory fought. Who did he fight? Condit.
He fought Woodley. He fought Condit.
Oh,
he
Woodley.
Fought Lawler.
Okay, Condit. He fought Condit, who did well.
This is why
GSP.
MMA math doesn't work.
Okay, all right, whatever. Shut up.
If you go by MMA math, yeah. And you start with Fedor as the GOAT, John Dodson is the best ever.
Yeah, that's what I actually did that.
Yeah.
By the way, we're gonna have Dodson on the fight. So, okay, on the podcast today.
John Dodson's not the best.
All right, so let's talk about the Tough finale. I don't know who these people are.
We got our boy Terry on the Flash Ware on there.
Terry
supposedly
on the
co-main event.
Yes, Terry on the, and he's fighting a good guy, O'Malley.
Sean O'Malley, yeah.
But I think that's a good fight for Terry on.
There's been some shit talking back and forth too.
Look, O'Malley is great and he's fun, but he's very unconventional, and he gets hit a lot. And a lot of the things he does because he can get away with them because he's got that kind of karate style, hands low, chin out, and that works to a point. To a point. Unless you're MVP so far, and your dad was an eighth Dan karate guy, and your mom was a karate guy, and your six brothers, and that's how you fight.
Wonder Boy.
But even like Prince Nassim Hamed, who was doing that forever until it finally
Have
caught
you
up
see,
to
you
him.
You see him now?
Oh, God.
He's a big boy.
Yeah, he's huge. But Prince Nassim Hamed was awesome, but he was doing that since he was like 3 years old. There's like video of him doing that same. But eventually it catches up to you, especially in MMA. So,
isn't this also his UFC official UFC debut, O'Malley?
Oh, it is.
Didn't he get in off looking for a contender?
Yeah, and that was a great fight. He beat, what's his name's guy, Edmonds kid, who was supposed to be really good. But I think Tarion can beat him. I do think Tarion can beat him. He's got to fight a really good fight. He's got to not get caught. They obviously, I think, are trying to push O'Malley as a star. They're giving him Tarion because they think they can make a poster out of Tarion. But Tarion's a guy who's had, what, 30 fights?
He's had a lot of fights.
I don't know.
And O'Malley's trying to get into his head on Twitter of like, this dude can't pop a grape with his punches, and he's not going to strike with me. He'll be looking for takedowns immediately.
No, that's always looking for striking.
And Tarion's like, dude, you think I don't know how to fucking swing, man? Like, let's see what happens. But good. Supposedly, he's their co-main event, which is a little strange.
Joe Soto's taking on Brett Johns. Brett Johns, undefeated kid from Wales. We had him on the podcast.
He fought one whole cock.
Yeah, he beat one whole cock. He's beat everybody so far. And Soto has been the spoiler. Now he's all of a sudden beating these undefeated kids. But I think John's got him. John's is tough. He's tough. He's undefeated. I think he takes Soto. This week, obviously, we got some great cards this week. The great fights this week. Bellator's got an event.
Is there a Bellator card this week?
Julia Budd is fighting.
Oh, the Arlene Blanco and Julia Budd fight?
Chris Honeycutt fights. It's a decent card. Yeah, Arlene Blanco.
Who's Arlene Blanco?
She is. She's 10-6. She's from Australia.
I got Julia Budd.
Yeah, isn't it for the belt?
Yeah.
Yep, Julia for the featherweight title.
Julia Budd's been saying she don't deserve a title shot.
She probably doesn't. I mean, the belt, I don't even know what belt.
They don't have anybody.
Bellator's so weird how they market the women.
Take that belt when you can get it.
I mean, they need to have a tournament for girls.
Who's Honeycutt fighting? I forgot. David Rickles now?
No, he's Rafael Lovato Jr.
Oh.
And then Saturday night, that's the big night. Let's talk about some of the fights on this one. So Amanda Cooper versus Angela Magana. Cooper's 3-3.
Magana's
11-8, but she has lost 5 in a row, and everyone hates her. But I hope Magana gets the win. I don't know Amanda Cooper. She seems like a sweetheart, but there's something about Magana that's just fun. She's such a good heel, and she's just, I don't know. I've hung out with her, and she's kind of insane, but you end up, in some way, liking her because she says whatever's on her mind, and it doesn't matter what's on her mind, she's going to tell you. And there's something kind of pure about a person like that. I know that, yes, she does shit that pisses people off. She has to stop instigating Cyborg because Cyborg's going to hit her.
That's what I'm worried about.
She's going to sue.
Because per a little inside information, Magana might get tagged up before that fight even begins because Cyborg's on her way to Detroit.
Well, listen, if you make a meme about someone and you're a pro fighter and they're a pro fighter and they punch you, you can't really sue, I don't think. I mean, I know you can.
So then how do you feel about the Colby Covington boomerang situation?
Well, it depends, because what Colby's saying is Verdum came up to him and just cracked him in the middle of the street and then threw a boomerang at him. And he's saying that actually the boomerang hit him so hard he got a concussion, and that's why he did those homophobic things that came out of his mouth. He didn't know what he was saying.
Hit him in the neck.
I don't think that's what happened. But if someone just comes up to you and you're a heavyweight of the world, former champion, and you punch a 70-pounder in the face, I don't think you should sue, but you have a lot better case than you making a meme about somebody.
For sure.
So that's not the same situation. What happened was he said, hey, man, you're a filthy animal, and the other guy throws a boomerang at you, and then you sue, that's ridiculous. Okay? Don't call people filthy animals. Don't call an entire, you know. So I don't know what happened. If Colby's telling the truth, I think he has a better case. That being said, Magana has good jiu-jitsu, okay striking, but she's got to get the win because if she's going to get cut, I think, if she loses. She has to.
Yeah.
But she almost beat the karate hottie. In that first round, I was there. She caught her with an armbar that was deep, almost finished it. But didn't. Almost doesn't count. So Felice Herrig,
say her career path would have been a little bit different at this point.
Felice Herrig fighting Courtney Casey. Should be a good fight. Casey's looked really good her last couple fights.
Casey's tough.
Good girl, soccer player, strong. But Felice is looking better than ever.
Yeah. Yeah, she's finally on the rise. And, you know, after her last win, she said at the presser, you know, it's not just about a pretty face. You got to go out there and fight. And I've never felt better. And, you know, I'm going to put it all out there. I want that belt before it's time to end it.
Speaking of which, you know, what Amanda Nunez said recently, the UFC doesn't promote me because I'm not blonde and pretty. And I kind of agree with her because she's the champion. She's dominant as fuck. I mean, she's knocked out Miesha Tate in one round.
Ronda Rousey.
Rousey one round. I mean, she's a tough, tough girl. She's a lesbian, which they don't have. It's a gay champion. They could be doing a lot more with that market. And she should be the face of women's MMA right now.
I think the problem is also they have a logjam in the division because they don't know who the hell to give her. Everybody, all the 35 contenders have lost and gone up to 45 or dropping to 25. Do we need a Shevchenko third match? No, I don't think so. And she wants to drop to 25. Holly Holm's up at 45 now. Who's left?
Kat Zingano? The girl that beat McMahon, Sarah. And beat Ashley, that Brazilian girl. She's undefeated. She's decent. She's good.
Which one?
Yeah, he's got to keep throwing contenders.
But the point is that she should be promoted more.
Yeah, she should be on the card at the end of the year too.
She should be on Dr. Phil, whatever they need to do in their PR person of inspiring women. She does it. She's a girl that came from nothing and seems like a nice girl. You don't hear about her jumping over cages and punching Mark Goddard and getting into bar fights. Nothing bad about her. She's a sweetheart. Yeah, she doesn't speak English. That's the problem, the English barrier. But and you know whatever. So all right. So David Tamor is fighting Dracar Close. Should be a good fight, right? Anything about those guys?
Nope.
CB?
Dracar's out of the MMA lab in Arizona, trains with Ben Henderson and Mackenzie Dern. He's had, I think, one or two fights in the UFC already. But David Tamor was on Conor's team of The Ultimate Fighter, Conor versus Uriah. He's also the one that told Cody, you better watch your boxers because I'm going to fuck you.
Yep.
That guy.
It's a striker's matchup, man. It's a striker's matchup, but I think Dracar is going to be too crafty for David Tamor.
Alex Oliveira is taking on Yancey. I hope Yancey wins. I like Yancey. That's my friend. He's a cool guy. He's a 209 guy. And he's a guy, look, Oliveira's ranked, Yancey's not, but Yancey's a guy that's always in every fight. And he's those Hawaiian kids. There's something different about Hawaii. The Hawaiian fighters, it's like they grow up fighting, which is crazy because it's the most beautiful place in the world. Like, I can see if you grew up fighting in, I don't know, Alabama or Stockton. But in Hawaii, you go there, you're in a good mood. There's naked people everywhere. It's beautiful women. It's cats running around.
Yeah, but they come out of the womb swinging ones and twos.
It's something. It's crazy. Charles Oliveira is taking on Paul.
Naked people and cats. Nice.
What?
Naked people and cats.
Yes, that's Hawaii. Charles Oliveira is taking on Paul Felder.
This fight.
I like this fight, too. They're really pushing Paul Felder as an announcer. He's doing a pretty good job, too.
Wasn't it originally Iaquinta and Felder?
Yeah, yeah. Al got hurt again. Yeah, he injured his leg while showing
his
house.
His realty license.
Yeah, so, but yeah, don't cut my fucking joke, fucker. So that should be a good fight. Felder's a guy, though, also sometimes comes up short in these big ones.
I think Felder's too much for Oliveira. I think Oliveira has to get it to the ground and be super, super, like, precise in everything he does because one mistake and Felder's going to take his head off.
So by the way, this is ridiculous. I can't believe this girl is so annoying. I'll text her right now. I actually spent all night watching. You know, the thing is, like, you spend all night watching these people's fights. You can't wait to talk to them. And then they fucking don't pick up the phone. It's fucking bullshit, right?
It's annoying. We've had it happen. We've had it happen quite a bit here.
He actually called me.
We definitely need some guests to pick up.
No, he called me.
Don Fry?
Yeah. All right, we're going to call Don Fry right now.
Cool. I got my mustache ready for him.
All right, hold on. Let's see. Yeah, Don Fry. There's a guy there's a guy. I'm sorry, Snoop Dogg. I know, you know, blah, blah, blah. He should be doing commentary on these contender series. Don Fry. What are we doing here? With this,
he's busy trying to get a date with Kat Zingano.
No, Miesha Tate.
No, her. Most recent was Kat.
Really?
He left her a note at the Legacy fights in Arizona at her station when she went in to interview one of the fighters.
Yeah.
And when she came back, it was his name, his number, and like a love note, trying to get her to go on a date with him.
Yeah, I think fry. I mean, I guess you got to just keep trying, right?
Hey, why the fuck not? You're Don Fry. You're a Hall of Famer. One of the baddest motherfuckers ever. Why not?
Does he not have FaceTime?
I don't think he knows what FaceTime is.
He might have it. Yeah. Hold on. How do we do it on there?
I probably can't. I can't do very much with that.
No, I'm saying, can we put? Let's see if this works. So we're calling.
Yeah, give me his.
Sure. Hold on.
I need his numbers.
See if he picks up. Don Fry.
I love that you have to classify his number as the new number since he changes his number once every like 3 weeks.
Yeah, I think he like forgot his own number. That's the thing, dude. My wife was in urgent care. She's okay, obviously, but she didn't even know my number. They were like, what's your husband's number? And she didn't know it. Like, her phone was died. Like, people don't even... That's my wife. Wife didn't have my number.
It's because contacting people is just so easy now that you don't have to remember numbers.
I think it's like millennials. They just don't remember anything, man.
They don't have to.
I know. Everything's done.
It's like nobody knows how to parallel park because everywhere you go has valet.
But when I was a kid, we did like directions. Remember fucking, we had to have maps.
Remember, yeah, Thomas Guides.
That
giant fucking binder of maps that you have to first find the page where you are. Oh, yeah, I remember it. Before GPS, how did anybody get anywhere?
And you know, back when there was no cell phones, you know, you had to like write a girl's number on a piece of paper and on a napkin. You had to have a pen with you. You know how much blown pussy I got?
You had to wait till your mom and dad were off the phone.
Yeah. I got so many missed chances because I lost a number or it was the wrong number, coincidentally, every time. But what I'm saying.
Pizza Hut, yeah. National Rejection Hotline.
Oh, yeah. I know the girl that started that. Chelsea Peretti, actually. That was her thing.
Wait, the comedian?
Yeah.
She started the National Rejection Hotline?
Yeah, you've been rejected. That was her.
I thought that was like way before she even started it.
No, she was newer. Me and her were in a student film together.
I like her on Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah, 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 yeah. She's sleeping, sick in bed. I got really sick from seafood I had. Okay. You want to do it next week? Okay, so Tatiana Suarez, I'm sorry. I was sleeping. I've been sick in bed today. I got really sick from seafood I had. Okay, want to do it next week?
She hanging out with Diego Sanchez?
Yeah. Really? I don't think she has a fight coming up. Hope you feel better. All right. But next week, by the way, we have Brittany Palmer in studio. So just want to let you guys know that. So, okay, well, we got Dotson in like 8 minutes, so it's okay. We'll continue talking about the fights, and then we got John Dotson. So Tisha Torres versus... He's not picking up.
That Tisha fight is sick.
Tisha Torres versus the Karate Hottie. It's a good fight.
That's a great fight. Very tough to call.
I think Tisha's going to win.
I got the Karate Hottie.
I got Karate Hottie too.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm biased. Just
well, why are you biased?
Tisha's too smitten.
Hey, Don, it's Adam Hunter. You got 5 minutes to be on the podcast? All right, we'll call you back in 2 seconds. All right, so it's Don Fry.
Every week, dude. So
Don Fry.
Oh, man.
Okay, so we're calling Don Fry. Since Tatiana... Yeah, next week you better. I'm sorry. It's okay. It's okay, Tanaka. It's okay. Feel better, Tatiana.
Yeah. 1 second. Let's make sure.
All right, so that was that. So, Max Holloway versus...
You're skipping quite far.
I know. Max Holloway against Aldo. I got Holloway.
I got Holloway.
I think
everybody gives me shit, but I think Aldo's a shell of who he used to be.
I think that sometimes, you know, people get in their heads, and once you get them once, you can get them again and again, and I think that's okay with Aldo. But
I think Connor broke him.
What?
So you know it's my phone calling?
He's not available for FaceTime. He's, fuck.
Maybe he doesn't have FaceTime.
No, he does. He has FaceTime. It wouldn't show up if he didn't.
Okay, so Fry... All right, pick up from other number.
917 number.
All right, so pick up from 917 number. All right, what else is on the card?
Eddie Alvarez, Justin Gaethje.
Ooh.
The coaches face off. I love that fight. I got Gaethje, though.
See, Eddie Alvarez, I feel like 5 years ago, I think the best Eddie Alvarez beats the best Justin Gaethje.
Yes.
Prime Eddie Alvarez beats prime. However,
oh, yeah. Prime Eddie Alvarez probably beats anyone.
Yeah, but this version of Eddie Alvarez just gets hit a lot, and I don't know if he beats Gaethje. I want him to win.
Yeah, Eddie always gets hit a lot, but There's been some accumulation over his career.
But then it's hard to get the guy out. I mean, look at Poirier. And the guy hit him with a cannon, and he was still in that fight. So,
I feel like Gaethje hasn't hit his prime yet either, though. I don't think he's gotten up to the paramount of where he should be. And I think he's just a tough, rugged, give-no-fucks kid. I think it's a war. I think I think they go at it. I doubt either one of them shoots for a takedown. But I got Gaethje, and I think Gaethje can finish him.
Eddie's definitely going to shoot for a takedown.
I hope Eddie wins. I really do. I like Eddie. And Gaethje, I don't know. So my heart's with Eddie
Gaethje
Alvarez.
Can wrestle too, really good.
Oh, I know, but they're both stand up warriors, and
no, but there are some fights where Eddie Alvarez goes into wrestling mode. Against Anthony Pettis, he did not go into stand and bang mode at all.
Against Gilbert Melendez,
good decision.
He can grind.
Yeah,
Eddie can choose the grind when he has to grind. You know,
Don. Hello, Don Fry. Somebody picked up.
It's his horse.
Hello? Is this Don Fry? Where is he? Is this Don?
Is the volume up?
Yeah.
Don Fry. Come on, Don. Are you here? Don. Fuck. I'll try him again. Damn, this has been fucking...
You also got my favorite fight of the card.
What's that?
Overeem and Ngannou.
Ngannou all day long.
That's what I think.
Ngannou all day long.
Ngannou fight Stipe next for the title if they don't make the Cain fight.
Ooh. Yeah. Oh. Ngannou.
Which I don't think Cain deserves.
Ngannou's a very marketable guy.
Yeah, and a nice guy. He was super cool. I told you, I made fun of him during my comedy show. Then I saw him at the event. He's like, you come here. And he gave me his ticket to sit next to him. He's a good dude.
I'd be scared as fuck if he told me to come here.
Yeah, after I made fun of him. He put me in a headlock. That dude is solid. I never saw anyone like 280 solid.
No, he's like a... He's like an NFL player or...
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really all I can compare. Like, he's like a LeBron James type of build.
How do I just call him a regular without FaceTiming from here?
I can't do it from there.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. All right, let's try this one.
You think Cain deserves a Stipe title shot?
Yeah, I do. I mean, who else is he going to fight? Other than
Ngannou or Overeem.
Cain deserve, he said?
Yeah.
They're talking about Cain versus Stipe for UFC 220.
That's
main
cool.
event.
That's fun.
But I don't know if Cain gets a title shot after destroying a broken Travis Brown. And being off for, you know, a year and a half or
whatever.
Travis
Brown didn't fight the guys he's a world beater. Travis Brown was really good.
He was until he Ronda, and now he's...
But who beat him?
Like, everybody.
But who, the top contenders of the world?
The guy, the last guy was like 60. I like that guy, but he was 60. The guy, the Russian
what,
guy?
Ozdemir or whatever?
Yeah, yeah. That's not exactly a world.
No, not Ozdemir. No, Vulcan's 205, and he's in a
I was there. That guy was like 60 years old.
It's the older Russian dude, right?
Yeah, the old Russian guy. I like that guy. Alp something or something with an A?
Altakin, no. Alexei Oleinik. Alexei Oleinik.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So, no, yeah.
Vulcan's that guy's got a crazy good record, too, that guy.
That guy, yeah, but he's not exactly a world beater, and then neither is... A lot of the guys, Travis like lost 5 in a row.
Yeah, but Oleinik just quit with Walt Harris.
Did he really? Yeah, right?
Yeah, he said he got kicked in the face when he didn't, and he called the fight, and then he lost
by
TKO.
That was crazy.
That was
Dana
bullshit.
White was super pissed about that.
Well, yeah, I would be too.
Didn't they go to, is that the one fight they went to instant replay and still got it wrong?
They went to instant replay a bunch of times, and they realized that the foot barely grazed the top of his
ear. Yeah.
And Oleinik was like, I can't fight anymore. And they ended up ruling it a TKO for Walt Harris.
It was
later that night that there was a weird DQ.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was one of them. And to lose to Oleinik, who's like 107, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, that was Curtis Blades.
Oh, yeah. Walt Harris fought, and
he fought another dude that night.
Mark Godbeer. That was Godbeer. The DQ one. But Godbeer. He kicked him right after the ref separated him.
All right, is there any way we can call Don Fry right now without...
Just call him on your phone and...
And then put it up there? Oh, man. That sucks. Why is he not picking up FaceTime?
Does he have an iPhone?
Maybe he doesn't want us... Maybe he can't show his face right now.
What Whatever happened to Mock Juan, by the way?
I don't know what happened to Mock Juan. He started training with Connor, and then he... I don't know what happened to Mock Juan.
Disappeared?
Basically, yeah.
Are you getting too many blowjobs?
Yeah. Yeah. All right, so... Sorry, guys. The Tatiana thing screwed us up a little bit. Now we got to call Dotson, and then the Fry thing screwed us up. Why'd you mention Don Fry?
Because I always mention Don Fry.
Yeah, I know, but that fucked up everything, dude. Like, cause
that
now,
wasn't my fault.
Because I was on a roll.
I don't make the choices here.
I was on a fucking roll, and then I got distracted with Don Fry, and now we can't fucking call Don Fry. I'm trying to call Dot. It's just fucking...
I don't make decisions here.
This is all Andrew's fault.
YOLO.
All right, hold on. Don Fry, come on, man. Now he's not even picking up. Come on.
I'm trying to Google what FaceTime is.
All right. Fuck. Dude, this is ridiculous. All right, so no more. So no Don Fry today. Sorry to fucking bore you guys in the
Craig
podcast.
Don Fry, no Tatiana Suarez.
I know,
no.
Let's do it, Dotson. Let's go 0 for 3. Let's do it next week. Sorry, Don. Man, this sucks. No more. Don't mention Don Fry anymore, okay?
Okay, Craig from New Jersey, then.
Now just being a fucking idiot. This is why you're banned again for 4 months after this. All right, so we're calling Dotson. Here we go. Because we still have to get over. What are the fights there on the card? Anything else?
218?
Yeah.
Pull up the fight card right now.
There was one other main card.
So UFC 218 fight card. Cejudo Pettis.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. I got Cejudo all day. I'm sorry. I like Pettis.
That's Fire the Night written all over it.
Cejudo at his best is a fucking baller, but then he gets in his head a little bit.
I'm gonna go with Pettis, even though I don't even like the Pettis brothers. But I don't know. Sergio's on the up, and
yeah, he's won his last four.
Yeah, Cejudo is.
He beat John Moraga, Chris Carriasso. Those are he's decision, but.
Andrew, can you do Dotson here?
You don't have FaceTime, though.
Sorry, Fry.
I don't think Dotson has FaceTime, though.
Really?
Yeah.
Motherfucker. All right, so we got to call John Dotson. I don't know what I did. All right, so those are the fights this week, guys. That's what's going on. And tomorrow night, Spice, or by the way, before I get into any of that, so I've been watching Punisher. What's Punisher?
I want to.
It's
My girl
fucking
and I
awesome.
Are gonna start it. It looks really fucking awesome.
It is. It's thank God, because I almost gave up with Iron Fist. I said, you know what, Iron Fist was the worst. Daredevil was good. Luke Cage was good. I haven't seen the Flash isn't on that Netflix.
Have you seen the new one, The Runaways?
No.
That like just came out.
What's
Marvel
that?
Runaways. I don't know what it is. I just saw it on Hulu or Netflix last night. I don't remember which
one. You're thinking of Hulu. Yeah, no, but I'm telling you. Punisher.
Punisher's badass.
I'm in.
I gotta watch that.
My girl and I are
gonna watch it.
It's good. It's really good.
That's the hardest part about being in a relationship. You want to watch your shows, but you got to wait for the other person. And it goes both ways, but it just sucks because you're like, yeah, I got like 8 hours to kill at work today. Why don't I watch The Punisher? Oh, wait, my girl wants to watch it. Fuck. Or like Stranger Things. I wanted to binge it, and then we had to wait like 2 weeks because the only days we get together now are like Sundays.
Right.
So I don't have 8 to 10 hours of free time every day like I used to.
Oh, man.
I know. It sucks, right?
How do you live with yourself?
I just don't.
So we're calling John Dotson right now.
It's a difficult situation.
Man. A guy who got screwed his last fight.
Yeah.
You know. I had all these... You know, I stay up all night watching Tatiana Suarez fucking fights. I got no respect. Dotson, you better pick up the fucking phone.
You're the new Rodney.
I do. I really am. In so many different ways.
Did you see that John Lineker replaced Dominic Cruz against Rivera?
Really?
Jimmy Rivera and John Lineker at 219.
Ooh.
Except they finished the card and Barboza Khabib's the co-main. And the main event is Holly Holm and Cyborg.
Are you fucker. All right. Fuck
yeah,
it.
How do you feel about that? For the year-end UFC pay-per-view, the main event is Cyborg and Holly Holm. They couldn't get another title fight together for it.
They will. Something's going to happen.
No, they've made official Khabib Barboza co-main.
But they're going to like put CM Punk in there or something. They're going to put Brock Lesnar's kid. They can't do that. Hey, John Dotson.
Turn it up.
How are you, man? You're on the MMA Roasted podcast.
Speakers at the bottom.
Yes. How are you doing? How's everything?
Everything's going great, man. Just chilling. About ready to go get some gas.
Nice. Last time I talked to you, it was Black Friday. I called you up. You were shopping with the two kids. What did you get them?
Anger, frustration, and a whole lot of just like broken heart.
Nice.
And we got a lot of toasters.
Oh, there you go. Now do you go tanning on those toasters or no? No. So now do you wear the kids' hand-me-downs, or is that how it works? So
now they wear my hand-me-downs.
Nice.
I'll get into it right now.
Yes.
They fit all my clothes.
Oh, there you go. Oh, that's now, by the way, how old is your newest one?
She's two.
Man, so you have a 2-year-old, and then how old the other one?
He's five.
Oh, that's so cute, man. So cute. And they're a mix, because you're half black, half Filipino. Your wife is white, right? So there, that means that...
She's Hispanic.
Hispanic. From where? What type of Hispanic?
She's from Spain.
Oh, that type. That's a very good type. So the kids are like a beautiful mix of everything. They got Filipino, black, Hispanic. You're adorable. So good work. Good work, good work. Now... let's talk about your last fight. Your last fight. Here's what I thought happened. Okay, against Moraes. You were winning that fight. You were doing great. All of a sudden, the guy hits you kicks you in the balls. Okay, then you get annoyed. Then he like eye poked you. Then you know what? And then that sort of changed the event of the fight, where you were kind of then looking for the knockout versus like throwing lots of different punches. Is that kind of what happened?
See, what happened was, like, I kicked him in the balls, and I was already to throw up. And then I went into full aggression mode, and I hated it. I hated that dude. I was looking for the knockout. But they told me if I got kicked, if I would have threw up inside the octagon, I'd get TKO'd.
Who tells you that?
The ref
tells you that during the fight.
That's a new rule.
No, he told me that in the locker room. He goes, yeah, any type of bile comes out of your system.
Vomiting, shitting, and peeing.
I hadn't...
Like, if I throw up, that counts. He goes, yeah. I was like, oh, hell no. So I was afraid to move forward because if I went to kick the balls again, yeah, I already saw how close I was ready to throw up that first time. The second time, everything would have gone out of my system.
Man, talk about changing a game plan.
So that negates getting kicked in the balls. If you get kicked in the balls and you throw up, it's automatically a TKO, even though you were illegally fouled?
Dude, that's what I heard. I was like, I'm not even going to risk it, because I'm not going to argue it. Like, yeah, you threw up. Yeah, they kicked me in the nuts. But you lost, you threw up. I was like, how does that even work?
So do you think that... Now, so after that, you were kind of like, let's get this fight over with. Let's knock him out and leave?
Pretty much. I'm just going to hit this dude as hard as I can and watch him fall. So I was just like... waiting, so he kept like, kicking me in the leg. I was like, yeah, get a little bit closer. Don't really kick me, just punch me. So I punch you right back in the face.
Now, I still think you won, even though that happened, I still think you won the fight, or at least it was a draw. Is that how you saw it?
I saw me winning the fight. They actually told me I lost because I didn't get enough takedown. And if you like to look at that report, I got all the takedowns.
Fuck, who told you that?
The judge.
Oh, come.
One of the judges told me that, and I was like, really?
What position are they in?
Get them taken down.
Oh, God. Now it's got to be frustrating for you because you're so good, and you knocked out the champion, TJ Dillashaw. You almost beat Demetrius Johnson. I thought it was a very close fight. That first one was like, could have won either way, I thought. Who do you think wins that fight?
Between TJ and DJ?
Yeah.
DJ.
Really? Why?
If I couldn't beat him, I know TJ can.
Yeah.
That's a good answer.
Do you think he knocks him out?
No. Like, Demetrius is very crafty at what he does, and I don't think he's going to be able to hit hard enough to go ahead and put away TJ Dillashaw. Dillashaw is very quick to recover, and same thing with Demetrius Johnson. So I think I could see him more get submitted than get knocked out.
Were you surprised that Cody lost to TJ?
I was super surprised. My wife called it, though. She was like, TJ's going to knock out Cody. I was like, no, it's going to be the other way around. I sure enough lost. I lost that bet.
Do you think that happened because, like I was saying, that Cody all of a sudden, you know, he was a 3-1 underdog against Cruz. He wins. All of a sudden, he's the first champ there, or second champ there, and alpha male. But he gets engaged. He's a star. He's doing all commercials. Life's great. Whereas TJ had nothing. He was just sort of like living in Colorado. All the pressure was on Cody, and it was almost like it was too much, too fast, too soon.
Maybe. I think it was just like he had a lot of emotions going into that one fight because he became the champion. He had a fight, a teammate guy who was pretty much his brother in arms for the longest time. And then he had to build up a whole, like, random hatred for the guy.
Right, right.
And so it was kind of just like, for me, in my opinion, it just looked really weird.
Now, Aljamain's fighting Moraes this next week in Fresno. Who do you think wins that fight?
I think Moraes will win that one.
Now, Aljamain kind of took on your whole team, saying that Jackson's never produced a champion, this and that. I mean, what did you take that personally?
Well, I can't really take it personally because that dude's nothing but a troll. I called that man out in his face, shot him on the face with a water gun. Basically called him, talking mad crap to him every time I see the guy. And every time it comes to signing on that dotted line, I still magically have, like, apparently he has, like, magic ink. He doesn't ever show up ever on the paper. I'm calling with Sean, like, hey, is that fight with Aljamain good to go? He goes, well, we're waiting for him to sign the contract. And every time I hear the words out of his mouth, he's like, I never got anything. I'm like, cool. I know you got the phone call to fight me, and he keeps on telling me no. You want to fight everybody else. And he goes, I want to fight somebody in the top 10. And sure enough, he wanted to fight some nobody, and then that dude got hurt, and then Moraes got the call. I was like, ugh, this is crap.
Now, what do you think? Now, what do you mean you shot him in the face with a water gun? Where was this?
Oh, yeah. So at the UFC retreat, Aljo thought he was slick because I called him out because of his Cinco de Mayo rant. I was like, just sign the dotted line. I'll fight you. Let's fight. He goes, oh, yeah. Haha, that's funny. Yeah, right. I was like, I'll fight you. I'm not even afraid. We can build up this whole fight and I'll just knock you out. He goes, haha. So I actually got a water gun, a little sport pistol. Somebody had handed to me. I'm not going to say the guy's name. But I unloaded that whole water gun in his face.
Now was he upset because black people can't swim? Or like, what exactly? What happened?
Well, no, I was just drowning the guy, making sure that he knew he's going to be in deep waters when he fights me.
He's going to be in deep waters. That is so fucking funny, man. Dude, I mean, I never heard of anyone trying to get a fight with a water gun before, but you're a first, man. You are absolutely a first. That is so funny, man. Now, how hard would it be for you to make 125?
Be pretty hard for me to make 125 now. Like, yeah, my body can't handle it too much. I wish I could still be down at the weight class, be amazing, but I got pulled from that division because I had healing failure for the last 3 times that I attempted 125.
Okay, so
made 125.
So you're at 35, but you're a hard out for anyone. I honestly feel like you're right there. It's got to be frustrating for you. So what's up? I mean, are you back in the gym working hard?
Yeah, I'm always back in the gym. I got suspended for 180 days because I thought I was, we all thought I broke my hand because it was the size of a golf ball. But it turned out that I have a really deep bone bruise. So I bruised my hand trying to knock out Marlon.
Fuck. How's John Jones doing?
I haven't talked to him, but hopefully he's doing good. He's in good spirits, but I've seen Brandon go work out with him, so.
I mean, do you think he... I don't understand. Like, he was killing everybody clean. Why does that guy need steroids? I mean, do you think it was an honest mistake?
I don't think he's taking steroids. I think he's taking a little up or something else to help him perform in other places.
But why? He's 36 years old. Why does he need Viagra for? He's 36 years old. I mean, come on.
Not even that old.
Not even that. Well, I mean, what's going on here?
I have no idea. The poor man, I think he just wants to perform at his best all the time.
Bullshit. Come on. I don't get it. I mean, the only thing, maybe he was doing tons of blow and then couldn't get hard and then took a Viagra for that. But why does he need Viagra for? I mean, what's going on there?
It's a mystery to us all, man. It was, like, frustrated. I was, like, defending the guy saying that he was clean the whole time and then he did. Like, got popped. I was like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, what in your right mind makes you, like, have to think that you have to use something? There's no substance in the world other than that stopping you from becoming a champion.
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. And it even fucks with Cormier, because you look at Cormier now as a champion, and then it's like, yeah, he's a champion, but he lost to Jon Jones. It kind of takes away from him. Even in the loss, it takes away from him. It delegitimizes his belt in some ways.
Like, what are they going to do? Let him fight for the third time and get have watch you get beat for the third time?
Now, we were debating, again, who would win, Ben Askren or GSP. Who do you think wins that fight?
Probably George, because he has better hands.
Hmm. Yeah.
If you think about it, like, their wrestling is going to be pretty much similar. Ben Askren's going to sit there and try to take him down the whole time, but we already know George can at least defend a shot and hit him with 1,000 jabs.
Yeah, I just think that Askren's so smart, and he finds a way to win. Not that GSP isn't, though, but... now, do you think Gastelum should go back down to 170? My vote is yes.
I think so. I just wish the dude can make weight. He's like the Lineker of, like, welterweight.
Yeah. And by the way, it came out that Lineker is fighting...
Lineker replaced Cruz against Jimmy Rivera.
Against Jimmy Rivera. Who do you like in that fight?
That's another dude that keeps on calling me out, saying that they want a top 10 dude and all, but he's got Dominic Cruz. I was like, yeah, that's awesome. They fought Lineker. He's getting Lineker now. Jeez, man.
Who do you think wins that fight?
I'd have Lineker to win that fight, tell you the truth.
Now you beat Lineker, right?
No. Yeah. Well, I lost, but we already know.
Yeah.
If you land 500 punches, the person there 100, you still lose.
How hard did he hit?
He's the hardest I've ever been hit by, tell you the truth.
I mean, it was like, I mean, how much, like the levels. But like when you fought, let's say, TJ and he hit you, and when you fought this last guy, Mraz hit you and Lineker, Explain to me the differences.
Well, when I got hit by TJ, I felt like pillows touching my face. And then when I got hit, kicked by my ass, like I had a big old bruise on my thigh, and that was it. Lineker left a permanent mark on my head right now because I have a lump there.
Wow. Permanent, huh?
Yeah, I have to go get it removed.
Oh my God. Now, sometimes when you get hit, you start smiling and laughing. Are you having fun, or are you just fun? Are you having fun, or are you just kind of pretending, like, aha, you know, kind of masking that, like, are you really hurt but trying to pretend you're not?
No, I'm actually having fun, but the thing is, with my head, I think I'm the fastest man on the planet, and when I get hit in the face with a really good shot, I knew I saw it coming, and I watched it hit me in the face.
So you're laughing at like, yourself, basically.
Pretty much. I'm laughing at my own stupidity of not dodging. I got hit by it. You're an idiot.
Right. That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. Overeem Ngannou this weekend. Who do you like?
Man, that one's just a tough one to call because heavyweight only takes one punch, and both those dudes can have that one punch knockout. Like, do you take the rising star or like the dude's been on top on pretty much every striking game possible? Like, Ngannou is like a freak these days.
Yeah.
And I can't even sit there saying anything about like bad about the guy. Alistair's like been doing everything he can to get that title shot, and he wants to get TJ again, and this is a shot.
Is Alistair, is he training with you guys? Is he ever training with you guys, Alistair?
Yeah, he's training for this fight. He came down for the last 2 months.
Do you think sometimes he gets in his head where like he kind of folds under, like he's not as mentally strong as he is physically?
Maybe. I think he's just been hit so many times he just didn't care.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Ngannou, but you're right. It's hard to count Overeem out because he could kind of out-veteran him. But at the same time...
From what I heard, Overeem already said that Ngannou tapped.
Yeah, it's funny. He already tapped. That's hilarious. Okay, the Bellator heavyweight main event, the tournament, who do you like?
King Mo.
I heard someone said he's already out of it. That's what the rumor is, according to CB Gold, that King Mo is going to focus on bare knuckle boxing, and he's out of the tournament. Could that be true?
Wait, then do you like the Melvin Gillard and just go to bare knuckle boxing?
Yeah, and Gillard's getting fucking killed in that, by the way. I mean, have you talked to Gillard and told him, listen, you know, maybe this is not the right thing for you to do?
How do you know they're even friends?
Are you guys friends?
Lately.
Yeah.
Well, that's kind of nuts.
Yeah. That's what I heard. It's from CB Gold. But if King Mo is in the tournament, you have him winning the whole thing.
Yeah, he will surprise everybody. I like him in the tournament because there's a lot of guys that want to out wrestle him and he wants to sit there and get in their heads and he's quick with that mental game. He sits there and hits people in their like vulnerable spots and he just picks at it just so he can go ahead and manipulate it the way that he wants it to. He is that WWE type of fighter.
Yeah.
That picks you apart mentally. And then when you go in there and fight him physically, like he's already won.
Yeah, he's a guy with so much. I remember when he beat Musasi. And I thought he was going to be unbeatable after that. I was like, King Mo. And then he kept getting that spinning back fisted by
Emmanuel Newton.
I was like, oh.
He also fought at 3 weight classes.
Yeah. He's a guy that, like, he's got so much potential. I hope he wins this. I really do hope he wins this. But then also, now Chael versus Rampage. How is Chael? I mean, Rampage's going to come in that fight 260.
Easy.
265. Chael's going to be 205 tops.
220.
Are they letting him take steroids for this one? Are they testing in Bellator? Do they test over there?
Testing because they're not part of USADA.
Yeah, so that's probably why he's doing it. I mean, who do you like, Chael or Rampage?
I like Rampage. Rampage, like, granted, we already know getting taken down is Rampage's kryptonite, but he still has that devastating power. Plus, he's fighting at heavyweight, so that means he don't have to do anything. He's just gonna go in there heavy as possible and just throw mad bombs.
Yeah.
Rampage already said he's pissed about that matchup.
Oh, really?
He said he didn't want to fight a wrestler in the first round.
Wow, whatever. What matchup is he going to be happy about? and then finally, this week, Sergio Pettis versus Cejudo. Talk to me, John.
Sergio.
Really? Sir, why?
Because Sergio has pretty much an underrated, like, wrestling game. Everybody, like, doesn't pay attention to how well his wrestling abilities are in defending takedowns. They just think that him and his brother are similar, but Sergio can actually do a lot more. His technique is a lot faster, and his punch is a lot crisper.
Yeah, but what's his name looked great his last fight, Cejudo.
He did, but don't sleep on Sergio. Sergio's going to come out there and hit him a lot harder and a lot faster than what Henry's going to be able to deal with.
I can't wait.
DJ fight all over again.
And then are you going to be in the Karate Hotties corner against Tisha?
No.
Why not?
She's not, because she got everybody else going to be sitting there. I'm a Karate Hottie fan, and I'm going to try to help her out get ready for this fight. She said she needs somebody short and throw wide punches. I was like, I can do that. I can throw wild kicks, too. And she said, I need a woman to do it. And I was like, ugh.
Oh, that's...
my hair, throwing a wig.
No. Really? She won't let you train with her?
That's sexist.
No, she would. She just let me. I'm just talking about.
Oh, nice, nice. You guys would have cute kids, but your wife is very cute as well. So, yeah, the same. Well, listen, Dotson, I'm trying to keep my marriage intact. So far, so good. Any advice?
She's always right.
Really?
No matter what's going on, she's always right.
Huh. And all right. And
flowers always work.
And a very active sex life, right?
Yeah.
I mean, how often are you and your wife doing it? I mean, because me and my wife are doing it like twice a week. Is that more or less? Or three times a week, maybe? Same? Hello?
Hello?
Okay, all right. All right, we won't have to talk about that.
We're like rabbits.
Oh, really? Nice. Dustin the rabbit. Yeah, fucking the magician pulls out a rabbit.
Well, you've seen his gas tank in a fight. Could you imagine when he's really motivated God. In the bedroom?
It's probably like little micro machines going at it.
She just got pregnant with us talking about it.
Yeah, look at you. Two kids already. That's good for you, man. You're a good guy. You're a good guy. I root for you. Who are we calling out?
Everybody.
Everybody.
Anybody that wants
to
fight.
Same answer every time.
Yes.
Like if they even need me to fight next weekend, let me know.
Really? All right.
Yeah.
Okay. Got it. Love it. Well, thank you, John, and enjoy the rest of your week, man.
Oh, you too, brother. Thanks for the call.
Anytime.
Always love being on your show.
I love having you, brother. Bye. All right, that was John Dotson.
Had you not heard about that new rule for the TKO if you vomit, shit, or piss? It started after the Justine Kish fight.
Really?
Yeah. If you shit yourself, piss yourself, or throw up in the cage, it's an automatic TKO loss.
Wow. Okay, that's crazy having a rule named after you shitting the octagon.
Yeah, well.
All these people do all these great things, and then you shit the octagon, and then they make a rule.
It's the Justine Kish rule.
Yeah. I like want to make fun of her so many times, but like I can't. I can't.
No, you know who you should make fun of?
Who?
The person that bought those shitty shorts from her afterward. Yeah, for a lot of money.
How do you know?
Come on, man.
Why did they like top your offer? Is that why you're
saying? I didn't have an offer, but I'm
you would have took them.
I forgot my sources.
People are fucking freaks, man.
No, but I am happy with what Dustin Poirier did, where he sold his whole fight kit from his last fight.
Did the last two
fights. 8 or 9 grand for the family that lost their like I think they lost a father, was like a firefighter or something. Wow. Yeah, he auctioned it off on eBay and it went up for like $8,000 or $9,000 for the whole fight kit, and he donated it all to the one family.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
So this week, my man right here, Andrew, is commenting on Glory. Glory Kickboxing. Is your first kickboxing event you're commenting on?
No, I've done two other Glory events before. We did the one in L.A., and then we did the one in France. We did kind of like a telecast from L.A., and then this one, I'm flying out in a couple hours to New York City.
Now, I'm confused, because it's airing on ESPN3 and Fight Pass. Like,
And Pluto TV.
Like, is this everywhere? Is every channel going to be
having so how it works is we'll have the undercard fights.
On Pluto TV.
On Pluto TV, there's a bunch of good local fighters, a bunch of guys that fight in, like, Ring of Combat, some, like, MMA guys transitioning over. And then there's five fights on UFC Fight Pass. So Tiffany Van Sos actually defends her title on Fight Pass. And then they have,
Is Kamosi on the Fight Pass?
Kamosi's on the, I think he's on the ESPN port. I think he's part of the tournament. I think he's part of the middleweight.
No, he's a co-main event.
He's co-main event?
According to the website, he's co-main event.
But they're also doing a tournament as well, a contender tournament. So the way Glory does it, they do like a... they'll have like a qualifying tournament you got to win. A bunch of guys have to win that tournament. Then there's a contender tournament. Whoever wins that contender tournament gets the title shot.
I'm looking forward to it. Chris Camozzi's got the biggest balls than anybody I know. I mean, the guy taking his first kickboxing fight, I think, in Glory on co-main event. And he's just a guy, though. Like, I remember he told me back in the day, he's like, if the UFC cuts me, I'm going to fight every week in someone else's hometown. He just loves fighting.
Well, similar to his teammate Dustin Jacoby, who had kind of a up and down MMA career, transitioned to Glory. Actually didn't do very well in Glory for a while. He went like 1-5, and then he went on a crazy tear and he fought Simon Marcus twice.
Good for him. I'm
in WSOF in the early days.
And you know, Kamosi's weakness has been wrestling. So now he finally can get into a fight with him wrestling. So I'm excited about that.
Or
that's good.
The jiu-jitsu is the thing that really kills him.
Jiu-jitsu, yeah. And then right. And then also December 8th, Invicta, Maya versus Ned Wedzik or something.
Nujovic?
Is that what's going
on? Something like that. I'm probably off a little bit, but yeah, it's Jennifer Maya, and I think her name is Agnes Nujovic.
And then in Fresno, Eric Anders. There's a guy, your boy, their UFC is sleeping on. This dude is 8-0 with 8 knockouts. We had him on the podcast. He is a monster, and he played college.
That's the Fresno card, right?
He played college football, I think, for Alabama. I think he's a national champion, and this dude is a monster. I remember when Kelvin said he needs an opponent. He goes, "I'll step up and fight." Like he's just a guy that like.
What weight class is he?
He's middleweight.
Oh, okay.
He is a beast.
So say, give him Vince Pichel.
He's knocking fools out. Also on that card, Scott Holtzman taking on Daryl Horcher. Jason Knight is back against, I like the kid.
Gabriel Benitez.
Yeah, is he any good?
I think he's off of Tough Latin America, if I'm not mistaken, but I think Jason Knight is just scrappy
Hick
as hell.
Diaz, I like him. Also, Cub Swanson versus Brian Ortega. That's going to be a good fight, man.
I think this is a fight for who could get Holloway next if Edgar's going to be out for a while.
That's a tough fight for a Cub. I think Cub can win, but Ortega is... Although I was at the fight, Ortega's last fight in L.A., I thought he was losing the fight. And then he came back and won.
Against Guida, right?
Against Clay. Against somebody. It was at that fight, too.
You were at that one, yeah.
And I was at the other one with Jones versus Cormier, too.
Yep.
Yeah, Tanya.
And he fought somebody, and the guy was winning. And I was sitting with his manager, who's the guy from... his manager is the guy from RFA, LFA... Brazilian guy, Ed Soares.
Oh, Ed Soares, yeah.
Yeah, and I thought he was losing that fight, but Ed didn't see it that way, but he came back and won, and I was like, it doesn't matter if you're losing, I guess, if you come back and win. So that's the Fresno card. I'm excited, though. I'm happy for Cub. Hopefully he makes a lot of money, because you won't find a better guy than Cub Swanson.
Ortega's last opponent was Renato Moicano, who was, they said, was a wrecking ball in the division. And then, Ortega was able to finish him with the guillotine.
But it was close. I thought he lost the first two rounds. I honestly thought that's what I thought. But sometimes, like, there have been fights that I've watched that I'm like, oh, this guy, and then I'm wrong.
Also got to take into effect that Ortega had a really tough cut, the last one. I saw him in his room, I think it was like 2 days before weigh-ins, and he was just like, he looked pale.
Why were you in his room?
I was bringing him some images that I had that he wanted copies of.
You didn't guess what he wants to see? The guy can't even move. He's a weight cut.
He told me to bring him the day before, I don't know. I brought him. And his coach took me up to his room.
Look at you. It's okay.
I dropped him off and left, man. I'm just saying, he looked famished. And
yeah.
He has a tough cut usually.
Mm. Yeah. What's the most you ever cut, Andrew?
Weight-wise?
Yeah.
I cut like 25 pounds in a week for when I fought Pat Allenwood.
Yeah.
Maybe 26, 27 pounds.
I used to cut 18 a week of the fight in wrestling in high college, and that was brutal. Yeah. Every week.
There was two weight cuts. Oh.
Everybody's partying.
Oh, I was getting so much pussy before. I loved it. I was having fun. Then wrestling starts. And then I got acne. They shaved my head because I was a freshman. And then I couldn't move. And I had to lose 18 pounds a week.
Wait, why'd they shave your head?
All freshmen had to get their head shaved. And I was like, you're not touching. I had like this long, thick hair. And like, it was really cool.
It's fucked up.
I know. I was like, you're not shaving my head. I'll quit for you. And then finally, they like convinced me. I was the last one. They came in my room and they're like, sort of, well, it was a whole thing. Anyway, so this Friday night, I'm in Mesquite, Nevada at the Casablanca Casino this Friday. Saturday night, I'm at the Laugh Factory in Hollywood. It's a great, great lineup. Greg Fitzsimmons is on the show, Brett Ernst. It's a solid show. Next Wednesday night, I'm at the Standard in Fresno. So if you're coming out for the fight next week and you're in Fresno, come see me in Fresno. Then I will be Ventura, California at Grapes and Hops. And then the week of New Year's, December 25th to January 1st, I will be in Las Vegas at the Stratosphere Hotel. If you're going to be there in Vegas, come see me. We'll hang out. We'll do
a
show.
It's the week of 219, right?
Yes, the week of 219.
Their year-end pay-per-view.
Yes. So what do you have coming up?
Not much, man. Just working, traveling a little bit. I'll be in Vegas Monday night to Tuesday night, the week of the fights. Be going out with a friend of mine, Monte Carlo, emailed me. I get a free room there, so I'm kind of excited about that. Going up to Mammoth for New Year's to watch the dogs while my family goes to a wedding that I would not be caught dead at. And just working at the shop. If you guys... you guys want to check out the shop, Graffiti Palace Tattoo, North Hollywood. Check us out on Instagram, Graffiti Palace Tattoo. We got two amazing artists. If you're a local LA artist and you have a following, you're looking for a job, come into Graffiti Palace Tattoo. We'll give you a shot, see how you are. Just don't have eyeliner tattooed on if you're a guy, because that's weird. And don't sleep on the job and do meth while you're on the clock.
Yeah, Andrew, what do you got?
I got obviously Glory Kickboxing this weekend. That's going to be awesome. And then I think on Saturday, I'm going to check out local fights, Triton Fights.
In Long Island?
Long Island. Then I'm going to probably go to Miguel Cotto's last fight at MSG this weekend, too.
Wow, look at you.
Three fights this weekend I'm going to go see. And then I think I'm going to go to, I'm trying to book a ticket to Japan to go to see Ryzen for New Year's.
Wow.
Yeah,
nice.
So that's kind of my month ahead of me.
Is Pluto going to cover it?
I have 4 free flights I have to use before the end of the year, so I don't need them to cover it.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be cool.
Yeah.
Don't they have the tournament coming up in Ryzen?
Yeah, 29th and the 31st.
Cindy Gandois is fighting in it.
I saw that. She's getting around, because doesn't she have a fight before that?
No, she won last weekend.
Oh, it was last weekend.
Cindy Gandois won her fight.
So now she's fighting to chase Rumble?
Yeah, now she's fighting over there. I saw her post it, so I like her. I like Cindy.
Yeah, tough chick.
Yeah, yeah, she's cool. She's good people. Well, listen, guys, thank you for everybody. This Sunday night, I'm in Tulsa, Oklahoma with Gerald Harris. He's taping his special, and I am hosting that show.
So where's his special going to be?
At the Looney Bin. It's called the Looney Bin Comedy Club. Me and Gerald Harris. If you want tickets, hit me up. So thank you guys so much, and have a great week.